Okay, in the words of that song, and that's where I was at the first of the week, toward the middle of the week. The last few weeks, Sundays, we've spoken about the mysteries, and we were on, we kind of branched out between the rapture and the second coming the last few weeks, what the differences were. And I didn't get done last week, and I had some verses left over, some scriptures, and it wasn't a whole lot, but I felt like we'd been on there enough just to, instead of coming up here and talking about Old Testament scripture about the rapture, which is great, about the second coming rather, but I'm like, man, it gets monotonous. I don't want to wear them out with that. So I thought I'd go in another direction, started putting some things together, and it just didn't click. You knew that it wasn't it. So here I am, you know, it's Wednesday. And I'm like, okay, Lord, the last few weeks, we've gone through this. We've known. We've had a structure. We've known what we're going to go into. Here I am. I don't have a clue. So, and it's going to be busy. We went up to Murfreesboro for 2 days to watch the boys play. Work's busy. Several jobs. And I'm like, all right, here's one of these stressful weeks, Lord. So we get in the car on Wednesday. Go to Murfreesboro, watch our high school boys play in the state tournament. So we're going up 31 and 840 and all that, about a two-hour drive up there. So it's me, Missy, Morgan, Missy's mom, Rose, and little G. Okay, so here one big happy family going up the road, right? So we start discussing things. One thing leads to another, and they were talking about, Missy says, starts talking about how competitive the ball games are. They make you nervous. And she says, starts talking about how people act at ball games and people get mad. And she said, you know something? She said, my devotion was on forgiveness. And she said, I just have to pray. Sometimes people will make comments or people will say things or you'll hear stuff said that just gets under your skin, and you have to let go of it, you know. And Morgan said, that's interesting. Mine was on forgiveness too. And they're different devotionals, okay? Then Rose said, I had a devotion that was on forgiveness. Three different. Now, little G is only 3 months old. He can't read yet, so he didn't have one, okay? But I got a feeling if it had, it'd have gaw-gaw-goo-gooed about forgiveness. So by the time I get to Murfreesboro, Jonathan, I've got my lesson, right? I mean, I should have just turned on the recorder and played it. So, but forgiveness is one of those things that no matter what church you go to, you could go to the most conservative church, you could go to the most liberal church where they believe totally different. You can come here, you can go to a Baptist church, you could go to a Roman Catholic church and listen to a priest, you could go to a synagogue, you could go to any of those places. They may not agree on just about anything, but the one thing that they will agree on is forgiveness. I mean, it is a common theme, basically, among Christians everywhere, that we're to forgive. That's what Jesus taught. That's what's all the way through the Bible. We are to forgive. But when it comes to practicality and away from theology, that may be the hardest thing in the world to do for all of us. We get wronged. Maybe sometimes we don't get wrong. We just feel like we do. Somebody says something. Somebody does something, whether it's intentional, whether it's unintentional. It may be somebody we barely know. It may be somebody that's close, that we're as close to as anybody in the world. And we just let it sit. And we let it fester. And we let it fester. And we let it fester. And it can destroy, it can just ruin our days, our weeks. And it keeps on and on and on and on. And it can ruin our Christian walk. I know the easiest place to do this that I've seen, Patsy, are ball games. Now, I'm not looking at you. I want an amen. Give me an amen. All right, good. Thank you, Jim. Now, so it's the easiest thing to do. It's the easiest thing to do. I see people at ball games who are salt of the earth Christians who go to church every time the doors are open, and I have no doubt are wonderful Christian people that act publicly at these games. And then, that's okay, you get into it. I get into it. Anybody that saw me Monday week ago when we beat Richland up on the round knows I get into it, okay? I'm supporting those boys. I'm not yelling at other people. And I'm not mad at anybody, okay? I'm supporting the boys. But people get mad at these things and they'll hold on. And Christians that won't speak to other Christians and despise other Christians because they may, them or their families may be on other teams or they've said something or done something. I know people in this county that go to church together who will not speak to each other because of ball games. I know of them. Okay? So things like that, and we carry that, and it's so easy to do. Although the Bible says so much about this, in practicality, it can be hard. It can be hard to let go of these things. So I want to look at that. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. Patsy doesn't act up at ball games. Patsy's good as she can be. She is, really. No, I did do some refereeing in summer camp. She sat on the side. When I was refereeing, I tried not to get too close to where she was sitting. Besides that, we're good. Okay. Just kidding. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. So Paul's speaking to the church of Ephesus. So the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul is speaking about our position in Christ. Okay? He speaks about what we have as believers, what the positions the Lord puts us in the moment we're saved, the moment we believe. And then chapters 4 through 6, okay, how do I apply this? I've got this, how do I apply it? So in chapter 4, start with verses 31 and 32. He says, all, speaking to believers, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Okay? So he sets a pretty high standard there. This is Paul. He sets a pretty high standard. Not the easiest thing to do. I can look through this thing and I can go, uh-oh. But we're all guilty of these things, okay? We do at times. Now, does that mean because I lose my temper or that I'm not a Christian? Absolutely not. It does. We all do. Okay? This is the high standard and it takes work. Okay? But this is, we're all going to be guilty of these things from time to time. But the thing is, we're not perfect. But we can't let it become a daily lifestyle, and we can't let this control us. We can't let it control us. I heard a preacher say one time, I remember when I was a kid, he said, you take some of them. You would think that the most devout Christians who have never missed a service, and he said, they have the disposition of a rattlesnake at times. Okay? And as we do that publicly and we hold on to that, and that takes part of our lives, not only does it hinder our walk with Christ, but those who are out there that are not Christians, how does it make them want to become Christian? Because they're looking at us. Okay? So that's a huge thing. So verse 31 says, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you with all malice. Now turn back two chapters to Ephesians 2. Now, these are what I would call all these. These are what we're born with. This is the old Adam. This is what's in our flesh. The only difference is it's still in our flesh as believers, but we have the power and we have the control because we're believers to put this stuff down. Whereas when we're not believers, we don't. That's what we are. Okay? That's who we are. We're not this anymore, but it's there, right? So Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 says this. Verse 1. And you were dead in your offenses and sin. It's sins, plural, okay? Sin is our sin nature, okay? But we were dead in our offenses and sins, actual sins that we committed, okay? In which you previously walked according to the course of the world. So all this stuff that he mentions, malice, anger, wrath, bitterness, clamor, slander, all that stuff, those are what we walked in, okay? According to the course of this world. Now, if you think the world, when you see out there that it's got your best interest in mind, it doesn't, because he says you walk, that's what the world walks to according to the course of the world. That's what dominates the world. If you don't believe me, turn on the news or get on social media. Okay? According to the prince of the power of the air. So Satan controls of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all previously, before we were believers, lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging, and this is what I emboldened, desires of the flesh. Okay? Now, when I talked about wrath, anger, slammer, malice, okay, that stuff is easy to do if you're not careful. It doesn't take any self-discipline. It is easy. Your nature as a human is to get caught up in that stuff, and it's easy to do. It's easy not to subvert, or it's hard to subvert that and put it down. Okay? So easy to get caught up in that, and those are desires of the flesh and of the mind. You've got to work to control your mind. One of Charles Stanley's best sermons was The Battle for Your Mind. You can find it on YouTube. Charles Stanley, The Battle for Your Mind. Okay? And it talks about, even as a believer, you're faced with stuff every day. And you have to work to control, have your mind on the right things. Because it is easy to get off on other stuff and then you start getting caught up in other things. It's a battle. The devil doesn't stop working on you just because you're a believer. He amps it up. Okay? He amps it up. Why? He doesn't want you to be an effective witness to others. You're in. Okay? He can't do anything about that. Now, he's got to make sure that you don't go out and bring in others, which is what you're supposed to do. Right? Okay? We were by nature children of wrath. So that's what we're born into. Okay? I look at little G, as sweet as he is, a 3 months old. Man, he can make a mad face so quick. And he doesn't have that milk when he wants it. And he doesn't have somebody sitting and talking to him 24 hours a day. Man, he'll go from smile to mad, to mad, just like that. And we all were, right? Just as the rest. Verse 4. But God being rich in mercy. But God. You will go through Ephesians and you have seen how many times it says, but God, but God. This is what we were. But God. Was it what we did? No, it was what God did. But God. Being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead. We were dead in our wrongdoings. This controlled us. made us alive together.
How?
When he died on the cross, when he resurrected, when we believed in that, not anything that we did. We believed in what he did. He made us alive. It's what Resurrection Sunday coming up. That's what it's all about. Made us alive together. Who? How? With Christ. And I love this. By grace, not our works. By grace, we have been saved. But failure, these desires of the flesh, us being children of wrath, and it says here that it's natural. It's by nature. So, those things right there are natural, and they're still, we still have that. We're not immune to it. We still have it. So, failure to forgive is a natural desire. Wrath can lead to failure to forgive. Anger, clamor, slander, malice. Either we've done it and we don't like somebody, or it's been done to us. All that goes with failure to forgive. Now turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 21. So Paul talks about it to the church of Ephesus, and he talks about it to the church of Galatia. And it's almost like he just copied and pasted. I don't know if you could do that back then, Ken, but if he had a computer, I think he would have just, I think Galatians was first, so he could just copy Galatians and paste it into Ephesians almost. But you know what this tells me? If you wrote it to two different churches, he felt it was necessary to speak to both of them, right? Galatians were probably having problems with this. They needed to know, just like those Ephesus needed to know. Just like I need to know, right? Okay, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I need that more than anybody in this church. Leo used to say all the time, if there's things that you struggle with, he said, if you'll get up in the morning, and when you get up, you'll pray and you'll read your devotion. When you get up, and you heard him talk about it. If you'll spend time and you do it, you do it, you do it, you do it. He said, some of these things that you've got in you, they'll be gone. They'll let go. If you struggle with that, with forgiveness, with things like that, it says here, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill it. You're not going to be perfect. But fulfill means it's not going to dominate. You're not going to do this habitually. Okay? All right. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That's exactly what our lives are. I've got me, I've got the Spirit, and it's this. It's constantly this. Now, when I can say this, you know, Jesus says, my burden's easy, my yoke's light, and it's true. But when I was not a Christian, things in my life I could do, or things that I didn't do that I should have done, either way, I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and it never bothered me one second. Never bothered me one second, because the Spirit wasn't there. It was a one-sided affair. It was flesh. Now, we're still in the flesh, but we're saved. The Spirit controls us, but there's constantly this. So if you feel like, well, I've got a battle with this. I don't understand why I've got a battle with this. I don't understand it. It's natural. It's natural. And Paul says they're in constant contact and contrast with each other. Okay? Always going at it. Always against each other. Okay? And these are contrary to each other. So you cannot do the things that you would want to do or what you would have done before, right? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, okay? So you're not under law. In other words, you're not doing these things because the law says so, or it's legalism, or because you have to. You want to, okay? It changed. You want to, all right? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, There's three words we've already used. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Okay? So what you used to do on Saturday nights, totally out of the picture. That covered about all these, right? So anyway, envy. Envy's something right there. I heard Les Feldick say one time, all 10 commandments start with envy. You can't do any of those unless there's envy to start with. Okay? A lot of times we don't forgive somebody just because they got something they want, we want, or something that we're jealous of, or something like that. They don't even know about it. We see them, we might, hey, how are you doing, kid? Well, I sure do like that watch you have, daggone it. And you don't even know it. I'm two-faced. You think I like you, and the whole time I'm jealous of something, right? Cain and Abel, something like that, okay? Envy, things like that, okay? So it says, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So is it saying that you can lose your salvation because you're doing it? No, what it's saying is those that are dominated by all those things, that's what the world does. If I go on and do all those things and don't think twice about it, there's not been a change in my life. If I go out and do that, and there's, as a Christian, things there maybe that I used to do, that I know, man, I don't need to touch that, I don't do it. Okay? Because I know not to do that, and the Spirit in me doesn't want me to do that. And if I do something, the Holy Spirit convicts me immediately, and I feel awful about it. Okay? So there's that difference. So hatred, wrath, strife, envyings, those things can lead to not to forgive. Okay? Now, turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. Now, we've not got to the forgiveness part yet. Forgiveness is verse 32. Verse 31 leads into verse 32. Okay? Paul's setting it up. But Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Conformed doesn't mean a slip up or something you struggle with or a stronghold or something like that. Conform, this stuff that Paul said in Galatians that we're not supposed to do all these things, that's what the world says. And Paul says, don't be conformed to that. That does not need to be your lifestyle. Lifestyle is a huge thing. You got to remember who Paul is going out to. He's going out to the pagan world. The pagan were the pagan Gentiles, and they had no sense of right and wrong. None whatsoever. They didn't have a law. They were left up to their conscience. They didn't know anything about the Lord. They were totally overturned into these things, and they had there was no good and bad with them. So Paul says, you can't live that way. You can't be conformed. You've got to come out of that. Okay? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, once again, the mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Okay, now, you don't have to turn to this. Just write it down. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. You don't have to turn to it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. Now we get into the forgiveness part. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I think just about everybody here has claimed salvation. Okay, the Lord gave that to us. We have that through the Lord. Now we are not a child of wrath. We're not a child of hate. We're not a child of bitterness and envy and jealousy and all those things. We have the fruits of the Spirit. That has to come out in us. Okay? Now, turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Now let's look at verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Okay, so what are we to do? It's told us not what to do, so what are we to do? Be kind to one another. That was Melissa when she prayed. People in this church so kind to each other, love each other. And that's, Melissa, when you was away from church, you missed that. And that's what we do in this church. We're kind to each other. We love, we're compassionate, we forgive each other. There's the big one. Forgive each other. Just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Now we're going to talk about that. Okay? That is the big reason we forgive each other. He says, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. I remember, and maybe I've shared this before. There was a preacher, I was a kid, that came and spoke at my dad's church. Well, preached. He didn't speak. He preached. So anyway, he talked about the differences before he was saved and after he was saved. He was an old man, even back then. He'd be 150 now if he was alive, probably. But he talked about the differences and how hot-headed he was and how he used to fight and how he used to have to go to jail because he'd gotten all this trouble of fighting. It wasn't anything for him to pull out a knife or a gun or anything like that. But he got saved, and he'd been preaching now for 50 years probably. Was just a wonderful man. But anyway, he talked about, he had a daughter that got married. Okay? And they'd been married for a few years, and the husband started going out, and his drinking got real bad, and he got abusive and all these things. So it got to a point that he locked her up in the closet for a couple of days and wouldn't let her out, and she fainted, passed out in the closet, and they found her. Okay? So she ended up leaving him. They'd split, which she needed to do. And he said, I got a call one day, and it was my son-in-law. And he said, hey, she's kicked me out of the house. She won't let me in. She's gone. Can you come over and unlock the house so I can get my things? Now, I know what I'd have thought. Right? So he said, I started on me, started to come out. He said, I went, the Lord's, he said, work with me. I said, okay, I'll meet you over there. Told the time. He said, so I unlocked the door. I was cordial. I let him in. He said he got his stuff. He left. There was no issues. And I'm going to say that this guy's name is David Sisk. And he said, after his son-in-law drove up, he bowed his head and he said, Lord, thank you for giving me victory over my son-in-law. And he said, the Lord said to me right there, I didn't give you victory over your son-in-law. I gave you victory over you. Okay? Because these other people should not have power over us, no matter what they do. And that's the key. All right? One thing I live my life by is I never take criticism from a person I wouldn't take advice from. I don't take criticism. In other words, I'll hear it, go, I don't let it sit. If I wouldn't take advice from them, I'm not going to let their criticism burn me. But sometimes it's people that's close to you, whether they've done something or not, right? So Paul says, no matter what, you're to forgive just as God has forgiven you. That's what we do as Christians. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Missy, when we were going down the road going to ball game, I didn't think we were going to get into all this. Y'all preached a good sermon in that car, didn't you? All right. So Colossians 3, chapter or verses 12 through 16. Okay. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, okay, it's believers, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Man, that's not always easy. Not always easy. Jonathan, about the time I'm driving by the back of your house every morning at 7 o'clock, you're not up yet. So, So I'm driving by the back of your house, and about somewhere in there, I basically got this form prayer, and I'm like, a prayer, and I'm going, Lord, give me patience today. Please give me patience today. Give me patience. Okay? Let my life, don't snap on somebody. Don't lose your patience, I should say. Not snap. I'm not going to do that. Don't lose your patience with somebody who won't forget that. Okay? Be patient. Be loving. And I always say this, Lord, help me love these kids the way you love me. Help me love them the way you love me. Help me be patient. Okay? So, because our life's a ministry to the world. There's so many kids in school, they've never been in a church door. They don't know anything about it. They don't. But you try to live your life as a Christian where, trust me, down the road when you're an adult, they remember it. I've had many come back. They remember it. Okay? Now, so compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. David Hastings is great. He's one of the most patient individuals of kids I've ever seen in my life. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. This is stuff Melissa talked about. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Simple. Okay? In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. All this is not easy. Sounds easy, it ain't easy. Okay? Dr. Don Olive used to say, this is the hardest part of being a Christian. He said, I can put other things out of my life. I can take all that. But this is the part inside you that nobody else sees. I may put on a good face, Ken, but inside, that's where I got to get rid of it. That's where it's tough, right? This is not easy. This is Christian walk at times is not easy. This is one of the things that makes it tough because that other side's not going to forgive you usually, especially if it's a non-Christian, that's usually the case. It's a one-sided forgiveness. We've still got to do that. Jesus was on a cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Did that soften their hearts at all? Not one bit. They just kept on. Okay? Killing him, right? The worst possible death imaginable. And he still said, forgive them. Okay? That's what we have to do. And it's tough. Let the peace of Christ. Think about what kind of peace Christ had. So let that peace of Christ to which you were indeed called. That's called to us. We have that peace of Christ in us the second we believe, okay? Rule in your hearts and be thankful. I try to thank the Lord every day, okay? Be thankful, no matter your situation. Now, you got to say this. When Paul's writing this, the people he's writing to that have to forgive somebody for something, they're probably in a tough situation. But even in that tough situation, somebody's hurt them or somebody may have done something to them or these people are going under persecution. And he says, no matter any of that, be thankful. So when I forgive, I should have a heart of thankfulness also. Now, some translations say, above all, and this, I took it from a New American Standard, it says, in addition, okay? But some translations, King James and others say, above all, put on love. So it's important. Okay? Now go to Galatians. You can write this down. Galatians 5:22. Just write it down because it's too short for you to turn it and go back. I just want you to stay where you're at. But the fruit of the Spirit. So if we have the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, we have love, joy. There's a difference in joy and happiness. There's a difference. Happiness is the world. Non-Christian people can be happy. Joy. Joy in the Lord. Okay? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Fruit of the Spirit. The proof that you are a believer are these things. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, staying right there in verse 32. This is why I didn't want you to turn. It says, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has already forgiven you. Okay? He has forgiven you. Now, God has already forgiven us. Okay? Us, we as Christians, not forgiving. That is not a prerequisite for salvation. Okay? Let me say that again. If I don't forgive, that doesn't mean I'm not forgiven. I'm to forgive because the Lord forgave me. There's a sequence here. Now, that's not always been the case in the Bible, and it gets twisted around. I want to show you this. Okay? But forgiving is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance. Forbearance is really forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all those things that go with it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's proof of us being a believer. Now, like I said, that's not the case, or wasn't the case in the kingdom, in the Old Testament, even in Jesus' time. That was not the case. Turn to Matthew 6, 9 through 14. The Lord's Prayer. Remember, we don't lose our salvation, but back in the Old Testament, man, they did one little thing wrong. They had to go offer sacrifice. They had to get forgiveness immediately. They had to offer sacrifice. They could be children of God 1 second, and the ground could swallow them up the next. Thank goodness we're not under that. So Matthew 6, 9, 14. So Jesus, and we've all prayed this prayer. The Lord's Prayer, okay? This was a kingdom prayer, okay? The death, burial, and resurrection had not happened yet. This is the way they were to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. They were always praying for the kingdom to come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All this, agree, 100%. Give us this day our daily bread. That's natural request. Here we go. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Okay? You had to forgive first before you could be forgiven. You remember the rich young ruler came to the Lord and said, I've kept every commandment. Every commandment. And Jesus said, no, not quite. There's one you're missing. You go give everything you've got to the poor, then you can come follow me. There were prerequisites to following Christ. There really had to be almost perfection at that time. Okay? So people will look at this and say, well, if you don't forgive, you lose your salvation. That's not right. Okay? Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 14, here we go. For if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, what did Paul say? Paul said we're to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. But in the Gospels, it says, you forgive other people. If you forgive other people, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Okay? The kingdom before the death, burial, resurrection, we're in the age of grace. Okay? So, we don't have to go back. It's between us and God. It's not like every wrong we've ever committed before, we've got to right that before. That's what people think and are preached that way. They've been preached to and taught that way. Well, you don't know what all I've done. God can't forgive me. And what do we say? It doesn't matter. He'll meet you where you're at. He'll take care of that. There's nothing that you've done that keep God from saving you. And then we turn around and say, oh, if you haven't forgiven somebody, God won't forgive you. Okay? We are to forgive. We are to walk like Christians and act like Christians and forgive other people because God forgave us. It's not a salvation aspect. It is a fruit of the Spirit thing. Okay? All right. Jesus' ministry. Okay, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. Jesus' ministry was still under the law. It had never been abolished. They constantly had to keep it, and they had to be perfect. The relationship with God was based on performance. You remember a couple of months ago, we did, you know, your placement, your position, rather than your performance. Ephesians is about where God has placed us, the position He's put us in. Our performance is the fruit of the Spirit. Our performance is not our salvation. At that time, the performance was your salvation. Under the law, there was no forgiveness until you forgave first. Under grace, we are forgiven first. Okay? Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 13. Got a few verses to read here and I'll be done. I said Galatians. I'm sorry. Colossians. I'm sorry. Colossians 2:13. Colossians 2:13. Okay. Where were we at when the Lord saved us? Who were we and where were we at? Okay. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your wrongdoings and the uncircumcision of your flesh, so I wasn't under the law, okay? I didn't have access to the law, okay? At that time, physical circumcision was required. I didn't have that. I was dead in my wrongdoings and my sins. I couldn't forget forgiveness. You were made alive together with Him, having done what? Having forgiven us all our wrongdoings. Okay, I want to tell you this. God, even if you're lost, God has already forgiven you. He forgave the whole world on the cross and when he died. It's up to us to accept it. And I've told you this. Right now, God doesn't count anything against you. That you hear people say, well, I've committed an unpardonable sin. And there's millions of people have fallen into this. From what they've been taught, the Lord can't save me. I blasphemed. I don't know what blaspheming is, but whatever it is, I've done it because I can't be saved. I've done something God can't save me for. There's nothing that you can do God can't save me for. Not a thing. The only thing God cannot forgive is your lack of faith and not accepting it. If you don't accept Him, okay, then that can't be forgiven. Then when you die, now those sins are put, your physical death, those sins are put on your charge. Okay, right now he's just saying, look, I've died forever. I've forgiven everybody. You just got to accept it. Okay, He's forgiven us all our wrongdoings. Past, present, future. Whatever you do in the future, you mess up, you slip, you commit a sin, it's already forgiven. Now you need to confess it to the Lord and pray because you want to get that thing behind you and do better, right? But it's already forgiven. Okay? Turn ahead one chapter. Colossians 3:13. One we've already done. We've already looked at this. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, okay, put on a heart of compassion, kindness. So we've been chosen. We've been forgiven. We've been chosen. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, okay, and forgiving each other. Bearing with one another. Sometimes we've got to be patient. There's things going on. We can't give up on each other. There may be people, Christians that have issues with each other, they've got to get that worked out. They can't keep on living like this. They've got to get that worked out. So bear with one another. Forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you must do also. Okay? Two things here. You are to forgive others, but if somebody else asks you for forgiveness, you're to accept it. Sometimes we don't do that. Nah, I'm not going to do it. I don't care if I... Well, what if I come and tell you they're sorry? I don't care. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. We are to accept forgiveness. We're to ask for forgiveness if we wrong somebody. Okay? Okay? Now, Ephesians 5:2. Turn there and we're done. This is the last one. Ephesians 5:2. This is a good one to quit on. Now we see what God has done. What's God done? God has forgiven us. And when He asked for, when we asked for forgiveness, He accepted it. He hadn't turned anybody away. He's already forgiven us. He's accepted us when we've asked Him for forgiveness. So it's a two-way street. So Ephesians 5:2 says, be imitators of God. We're to do the same. Okay? We are to do the same. We ask the Lord for forgiveness. Okay, ask others if we've wronged them. And we also accept it from others, okay? And walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave Himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. He loved us. It said, the Bible said that's the greatest love, that a man would lay down his life for another. It's easy. It might be easy to lay down your life for your family. It might be easy to lay your life down for your friends. He laid down His life for people that hate Him. He laid down His life for the same people that killed Him. He willfully went to the cross. He didn't have to do that. He willfully did that and took all the abuse. Okay? We're to be imitators of God. So, the golden rule says what? Do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. And that is a great thing to live by. But I'm going to leave you with this. Let's up it a notch. Do unto others as Christ did for us. Do unto others as Christ, not as would I have other people do unto me. Do unto others as Jesus did unto us. The greatest friend we could ever have. A friend that's closer than a brother. A friend that proved that he would go to the extra mile and miles by laying down his life. Okay? I'm not asking to lay your life down for somebody. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. But as Christians, okay, we need to be Christ-like. And Christ is love. God's love. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. So it's not easy. It's tough. It's hard to forgive. You've been wronged. Okay? And it's a battle to do that. It goes against everything in your human nature and flesh. But we need to do that as Christians. And it's easy to love each other here. But we've got to go out into the world and love. Okay? So, doing others as Christ did unto you. Martha Jo. If there's something like that you're battling with, that's between you and the Lord. Okay? It's between you and the Lord. Okay? And if there's anything in your life, okay, he's arms are open. Whatever we've done, okay, whatever we've done, His arms are open. Okay, but here's the thing. He'll help us, whatever we're struggling with, He'll help us this second. He'll help us this second, okay?